Hello, welcome to Create a Way with Art Bundance. I'm your host, Wendy Fadan, and today I'll be interviewing author Jackie Nix. She's an author and illustrator as well, dedicated to creating agriculturally accurate children's books. Jackie has been in love with farming and farm animals since childhood. Jackie is an animal scientist who's enjoyed a diverse career as an animal nutritionist for an international livestock feed company and as an agriculture extension agent with a cooperative extension service. She wants to share her love and fascination of all forms of agriculture as well as her artistic talents to educate and inspire children of all ages. Jackie currently lives in Alabama with her two rescue dogs, Rex and Ivy. You can reach out to her at JackieN@moomhaven.com. And there will be a link in the description below. So welcome, Jackie Nix.
You've got quite a lot of agriculture-related experience under your belt. And I know that that has contributed quite a lot to the type of books that you put out for children. I'd love for you to talk in depth more about that and how you decided to bring that interest and passion of agriculture into a message for children in your books.
Wow. This is actually quite a story. About 4 years ago, my dad was dying of Parkinson's disease, and I decided to quit my job. And I was driving from Alabama to Ohio, and it's 2,000 mile round trip, you know, going back to visit my dad and help with his care. And that's a lot of windshield time, a lot of thoughts going on. Kind of had these ideas, and they were kind of, you know, morphously not formed all the way. So then once dad died, I was trying to figure out what to do next. And the idea of agriculture advocacy kind of stuck with me and really felt good. I'm like, all right, I like this. And it also in having conversations with other people that were not in my agriculture community, I had this epiphany that these folks that I'm debating with and arguing with and their idea of a quote unquote ideal farm really sounded like children's books, an old McDonald's farm, the Red Barn. So I'm like, huh. I don't need to go after adults. I need to talk to children before they've already had this misinformation implanted in their brain. Hmm. So had the idea, actually had a draft written, but I had the idea that, oh, that's what I'll do someday. I thought I was going to go back into more of a traditional role in agriculture. And then the pandemic. And then it was kind of like, well, no time like the present. And here we are.
Okay. Wow. So the pandemic, basically give you kind of this this break to allow yourself that time to do it?
Sort of, because I was, you know, I'm like, I don't really want to move cross country in the middle of a full outbreak of a pandemic. And I'm like, wow, I could do this from home. And it gave me permission to do it. And then the more I'm doing it, and as you well know, self-publishing a book, that's a business.
Yeah.
So then it's all the challenge and learning. As I'm not telling you anything you don't know, a small business, so small part of that is the thing that you love. And then there's all the other, the accounting and the, you know, selling and the things that we don't ever think about.
Yes.
So kept me engaged because I was constantly learning something new. I liken it to drinking from a fire hose. I was a lot of information I'm trying to absorb, and I'm still absorbing. I don't feel like I'm an expert yet, but it was a nice mental challenge during the pandemic when everything else seems to kind of, you know, stop. So
that's true. That allowed a little bit more of the fire hose water to actually be ingested.
To me, it kind of made that time that might have been wasted,
yeah,
at where I was accomplishing something.
That's right. Yeah, I totally did the same thing, and it's interesting. I hear different things from different writers. Some writers didn't get a lot accomplished during that first year, when everything was so unexpected. And then I hear stories like yours and mine, where we basically took advantage of that time. We're like, you know what? This is my time to finally do what I've been wanting to do for a while, and have told myself I don't have time to do it. And here I am. Like, my client actually, I had one of those situations where my client didn't need me for a whole month. And I was like, I'm not going to complain about this. I'm happy. For once, I have every excuse in the world to say, I'm going to do what I want now until I am needed again. At least I was in a good situation where at least I knew there was an end to that, you know, so I didn't have to worry, oh no, what's going to happen to my job. But yeah, I was very fortunate in that way. So so that's great. So you gave, I love that you said you gave yourself permission. You had the permission slip to go ahead with this. You mentioned in your bullet points to me that you quit your job. And when was that?
That was March of 2018.
Okay. Well, how did that go with, I know that was right before, you know, things, you had about a year and a half, I guess, maybe, before things started to get weird with COVID.
About 2 years before. So it was, my dad died roughly a year later.
Okay.
So that year was a combination of burning up the roads between Alabama and Ohio, and then also of just recovering from burnout, giving myself permission. I had saved up my little nest egg that I thought was like, oh, I'll just take 6 months off and then I'll get back into another job. And but giving myself permission for a sabbatical, and then like realizing that, oh, I kind of like not living in the rat race. I kind of like making my own schedule. I kind of like, I don't know about you. Mm-hmm. My creative magic is between midnight and 3 a.m.
It figures, right?
it's not conducive to a regular, you know, 8-to-5 job. And
yeah.
But I'm a night owl, and those hours, it's that magic witching hours in the middle of the night that I am just super creative.
Yeah. Oh man, I hate it when that ends up happening for me, because I depend on those hours for sleep. And but boy, yeah.
I want to know how you do it, because I'm coming from, I'm transitioning from a very technical, where I have advanced degrees in animal science, and I was a nutritionist, very, very science-driven technical career, to being creative on demand. Mm. Wow. That's, you know, when I get inspiration, I might work you know, I might be 12 hours before I look up and like, wow, but I can't make myself do that on a clock. How do you do that?
Yeah. If that, I guess, for me, it's a job, I guess. So it's the same, but yeah, at least in my situation, I'm freelance. So I'm lucky that I don't have to sit down at, okay, at 8 o'clock, I'm going to start. And at, you know, 5 o'clock, it's time to stop if I'm lucky. I used to be in that situation when I worked at the corporate job, and I did do that, but at least there was a to-do list and people were telling me what to do. But yeah, when it comes to actually creating things on my own, there is that thing, like when it's your job to be creative, I used to, when I was at the corporate job, I actually did feel like I did get burned out with the creative, you know, energy that I had to spend there. And it didn't feel all that creative either. Because, you know, it was a corporate, it was creative, but it was corporate. So there was a lot of, you know, a lot of that stuff going on that just kind of, you come home and you just feel drained and you're like, the last thing I want to do is pick up a pencil and try to be creative because I'm just tired, you know?
I think that's what, okay, I'm showing my age now, but back in the day, and this would have been probably in the 70s, in the late 70s, but there are these art institute where you had the little cartoon and you drew it and you sent it in and the
I remember
art by
that.
Mail.
Yes.
Okay. So I did one of those because I can draw. And so then, you know, next thing my parents are getting this phone call from these people trying to sell them this. And I tried it. My parents spent a lot of money and then I'm like, ew. They're telling me what to do. I don't want to be told how to do it. And I think that's what kind of led me away from a career in art.
Okay.
And towards, because my art felt sacred. I was just like, don't tell me how to, you know, don't tell me that I should be using this brushstroke instead of that, or this medium instead of that medium, or it was just, I rebelled so bad.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That makes me think a lot about what I went through when I was deciding my career path. You know, when you're in high school, you've got all that pressure, like, okay, you got to choose some kind of path. For me, I loved writing. And I loved art. I did love drama as well, but it was with my anxiety issues, it was difficult. So I was like, okay, I think I have a choice here, either go into writing or go into art as a career. That was back when I thought I only had one choice, you know. And so, yeah, which is not true. But yeah, so I chose the art path, and the reason why was for the exact same reason that you're saying you went away from art, because my writing was, it felt more sacred to me. Yes, it was hard for me to take criticism about my art. That was very, very difficult, but I learned how to suck that up because I knew I had to do it. But with my writing, I didn't want to have to do that. I didn't want to subject myself to that heavy, you know, professional criticism, you know, that I wasn't ready for it anyway, at that point in my life. I knew that if I was, I knew that it would suck the joy out of it for me, and I didn't want that to happen. So I totally know what you're talking about. Yeah.
With my writing, it's that just kind of came by the wayside. It was not anything I ever worked at.
Mm-hmm.
I just fell into being sort of good at it.
Cool.
And throughout my career, it doesn't sound like it when you look at all the jobs I've held, but I've kind of been a teacher throughout my whole career. And I have this knack for taking really complex big life things and distilling them way down and being able to explain them to people. And one of the things says I'm on my resume that I can explain things from, you know, from preschool up to a PhD. And so that's kind of the talent that I bring to my children's books. I'm trying to take these really big concepts and bring it down to a bite size to present to children and secretly their parents.
Because yeah, the parents will read the book to the kids too. And yeah,
you know, it's a backdoor way. But and my books are at least the two that I've got, you know, in working on so far, of I tend towards the nonfiction just because that's my scientist in me coming back out and everything. But it's me trying to distill this really big concepts into a small package and hopefully be entertaining in at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. And the parents, I mean, truly the parents are the ones buying the book for the kids. So most likely the parents will be buying the book because they agree with that point of view and they want to pass that message down to their kids as well.
When I was first researching and kind of tossing the idea of like, do I want to do this? And I was in my local bookstore and I saw this board book for babies and it was physics for babies. And I'm like, by God, if they can do physics for babies, I can do anything.
There you go. So let's see. So what is your journey moving forward now? Are you just kind of winging it or do you have?
God knows I'm winging it. as I am moving towards old age.
aren't we all?
I think all of us to a certain extent, we want to create something that's going to outlive us.
Yeah.
And whether I continue doing this full time, whether I go back into a more traditional role, I don't think I'll ever stop doing this.
Yeah.
Whether or not I do it only this remains to be seen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm like, as I really, really am impressed and drawn to people who reinvent themselves, where mm-hmm. you see that they have like three or four distinct careers. And that's kind of where I'm headed.
Cool.
I started one as a, you know, extension agent. And that's, for those not familiar, that's adult education. It's an outreach of the land grant university. So I was an informal teacher to adults. And then I went as an animal nutritionist. And that's not even where my degree was in. I took a couple of classes and I parlayed that into a career. And now I'm like, okay, I got all this technical knowledge and, oh, I've always been able to draw my whole life. So, hey, let's do books. And so there's that. And I'd also love to get more on a speaking circuit because the books are great, but I feel like there's so much more when I get in front of the audience and I'm able to expand upon it. And my current book, it's 255 words, takes 2 minutes to read. But when I'm talking about each couplet and the pictures and I go into the agriculture products and everything like that, and I mean, it becomes a 30 or 45 minute presentation easily.
Yeah. And with your, as you said, with your ability to teach anyone from, you know, preschool age to PhD, that really, it sounds like a perfect fit for you. Absolutely. Yeah. So this is great. You know, I'm really, really glad to have had this opportunity to have you on the podcast and exercise your, you know, your speech, you know, really.
Thank you so much. This has been such a great journey because, you know, I'm opened up to meeting so many new people, authors like you, and all at once. You know, I've just had this plethora of new contacts recently, just because I've opened it up. Because originally I was kind of doing everything in a bubble, thinking I have to do it all myself. And then once I mentally broke through that barrier of like, this is crazy, get help. And then, you know, opened up to the greater community, and not only did it help, but it's just broadened and enriched my life of meeting so many folks like yourself. And, you know, the cliche, everybody has a book in them.
Yeah.
But we all do. That's, you know, true. And yeah, even though it's a subject that may have been done to death, it hasn't been done by you, and it hasn't been done in your way.
Amen. And amen. Then,
and there's also, you know, the folks who are fighting for, here's my little stab at self-publishing, the people who are fighting and trying to get traditionally published and running up against these gatekeepers, and they keep telling them these things that I swear to God aren't true. Oh, you must have perfect meter and perfect rhyme. Oh, you must have the hero's journey. Oh, you must this. Oh, you must that. But yet we see these bestsellers that break all those rules. So I think it's whoever has passion. If you have passion for your book, you know, whether it's about me, about agriculture and cows, whether it's you with your book, or, you know, the next person, passion sells. People see that you believe it. And if you don't believe in your own product, why should anybody else believe in your product? So you got to be the first cheerleader.
This has been a pleasure. And I think that's a perfect way to conclude this interview. So thank you so much. And
thank you so much.
Yeah. Wendy. Yeah. Good luck with the book you're working on next. And can't wait to talk to you when that one comes out too.
During my conversation with Jackie, we talked a little bit about what is too sacred to choose as a professional path. So for your art assignment today, I'd like you to take a piece of paper and draw a road that forks into two paths. One path represents your current path, and one represents the path not taken, or the path you haven't taken yet, your what-if path. Work on one path at a time. Doodle some things that you might find on each path. What are the stepping stones on each path? What words would be written on those stones? Kind of a fun thing to think about. Don't be shy to get out those colored pencils and really have fun exploring those two paths. Are there any monsters hiding behind trees on these paths? Maybe there's a hidden magical pathway that appears somewhere. Try to have fun with this. And again, I'd love you to share your path image with me on the Facebook page. I hope you enjoyed this interview with Jackie today. I sure did. She's so fun to talk to. I also hope you have a wonderful day. And regardless of the path you take in life, remember, you can always create a way.